Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Deeper Grooves, Season 5, Show 45. And tonight we have an amazing mutual friend, Kelly Finnegan from the Monophonics, here to talk about his new album and also the tour that they're doing right now. And it was amazing to be able to chat with him. He was so great. My friend Lito from Esteezo Beat plays with them, so I was very excited to have him on. And their new album, which you should all go check out, Sage Motel, is amazing. They toured with GA20 and Kendra Morris, who we'll have in later episodes of the podcast. But help me welcome right now, Kelly Finnegan.
So Kelly Finnegan, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Cliff?
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. So happy good. We were able to have you. Yeah. Happy to have you on the podcast, 885 Interviews. We've been playing your music and definitely going to play your music into the tour that's coming up. So super excited to talk about your new record.
Very cool. Thank you.
Talk about. Yeah, of course. Of course. Love your music. You know, Terry Cole sent me years ago a playlist and Like Yesterday was on there and I started playing that. And then from there, it's been history ever since.
Awesome, man. That's very cool.
If we want to hop into it, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the latest record, Sage Motel.
Yep.
And so you had over 20 million streams. Congratulations. And tons of records, physical records sold, which is no small feat. But what inspired you to create it and produce this new record?
It kind of just happened by accident. You know, we made the decision that we wanted to put out a new record this year in 2022. So last year, we, you know, started the process of writing and recording. And during that process, I just was kind of hit with this idea in a song, and that just kind of just snowballed, man. It just one idea turned into two ideas and two ideas turned into three ideas. And yeah, man, it really was just a very organic thing. We didn't set out to make a concept record or set out in any way. It just was really organic. And as I said, one idea turned into two ideas and here we are today. So, you know, I think that just comes down to years of creating and writing and making records. And, you know, I really, one of my assets as a producer and a creator is that I really trust my gut. So as I explored this idea, it just seemed really cool and different and attractive. And for a band that, you know, has been putting out records consistently since 2012, a concept record made sense. And it seemed like a cool idea and it seemed different and new. And obviously I'm a fan of concept records and it sounded cool in my head.
Yeah, no, I can definitely hear that. I love the bookends of the check-in and check-out, giving you that feeling. And I love the backstory of kind of like it's a kind of CD motel and the renovations and stuff. It really kind of takes you on a journey of understanding. In the same way, like when you're on tour, you know, sometimes you're staying at great places, sometimes you're staying at, you know, motels, hotels, Holiday Inns, everything in between.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It
is cool to be able to go on that journey. And speaking of tour, you are going to be touring again pretty much, you know, from now through, I guess, October and beyond the U.S., starting in San Diego and then ending on the East Coast in Boston. So, like,
yeah. How
does it feel to be touring after the pandemic and on this new record?
Oh, it feels great. I'm excited. It's a really exciting package to have ourselves and GA20, which is an excellent band, and Kendra Morris, who's an excellent artist, all on Coal Mine. You know, those two, Kendra and GA20, are on Karma Chief or on Coal Mine. And it's a nice eclectic bill, which I'm really a fan of. You know, I'm a big fan of those old Fillmore shows. I feel like music, especially back in the day, was an eclectic lineup. You'd go and you could see folk, blues, jazz, rock and roll, soul. And I think, unfortunately, nowadays, a lot of promoters want to make it a night of, I mean, you know, you're from San Diego, is that correct?
I'm from LA.
Oh, you're from LA, I'm sorry.
No
so
worries.
Sometimes you'll go see and it'll be, you know, two or three bands that are very similar. All three mm-hmm. have a horn section. All three have a male vocalist. All three. So I really like that this feels, you know, GA20 is a trio. They don't have a bass player, two guitars and drums. Kendra is a female vocalist, R&B, soul, rock, you know, great singer with a unique band. And then you have Monophonics, six piece with horns. And so it's eclectic and it'll give fans a chance to just dig in for a few hours and experience all three different flavors, you know? It's like, you don't want to go to the ice cream parlor and have three of the same flavor. Maybe you do, but it's also nice to have three different flavors. So I'm happy to be touring again, of course, after everything in 2020. And yeah, I'm excited, man. I think it's going to be a really successful and fun tour. I'm looking forward to it.
Is there any place in particular on the tour? I mean, you got a ton of dates. Is there any like, oh, wow, I played that place again, I can't wait to go back?
I always look forward to playing LA because it's where I'm from. So it's kind of it feels very like a hometown show. I really love Chicago, always have. So, you know, I love the energy that crowd always brings to monophonic shows. Boston always brings a wonderful energy to our shows. I'm excited to be back in Atlanta. We haven't been in Atlanta in a long time. And I believe that where we're playing is a really cool theater. So looking forward to that. First time at the 930 Club in DC, which is a pretty legendary spot. So there's multiple stops on the tour that I'm really excited for.
Oh yeah. I'm originally from DC, so I know 930 very well.
Oh yeah, that's legendary.
Yeah. The Chuck Brown Live from 930, one of the best go-go records if you haven't heard it.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I don't know if I know that record, but Chuck Brown, I know, is the godfather of go-go and is one of the most important musicians to come out of DC, no doubt.
Definitely, definitely. And and he helped, you know, a young Ava Cassidy, which I don't think everybody knows. So
I didn't know that.
Very, very eclectic in that area, but super excited. I mean, I think all of those places, metropolitan areas, will love your music. Your music really is timeless. Now, your style of music, according to what I've heard, is considered psychedelic soul. Do you consider that like the actual genre of music that you do, or does that feel like more of a marketing term? Like, how do you feel?
No, that's a term that we've embraced for 10 years because I feel like we are continuing the tradition of psychedelic soul in 2022. And this sound started in about 1967, 68 with a band called Sly and the Family Stone. And Sly and the Family Stone made a huge impact on George Clinton, who started Funkadelic and started Parliament, which is now P-Funk, which is now an institution. So, and it also inspired Norman Whitfield, who produced at Motown and made all those wonderful Temptations records like Psychedelic Shack and Ball of Confusion. So we're continuing the tradition. And of course, I have to mention people like Isaac Hayes and Curtis Mayfield, who all are considered pioneers of psychedelic soul. So yeah, I feel like, in my opinion, I feel like Monophonics represents that term better than any other band in the world.
Excellent. Well, all great bands. And so would you consider those also some of your major influences as well?
Oh, definitely. Norman Whitfield, Isaac Hayes, Curtis Mayfield, you know, Sly and the Family Stone. They're definitely, I would say those four have made more of an impact, you know, than just about, I could mention more modern bands, but I think those four names are synonymous. You know, if someone said, what's your Mount Rushmore of psychedelic soul? Those four people would definitely be up there.
Yeah. I mean, Norman Whitfield, not a name we hear as much today, but super prolific at Motown and beyond. And he had Rolls Royce at one time.
Rolls Royce, of course. Yeah. So. No, he's exceptional. Okay. Like you said, you don't hear the name enough. He's an exceptional songwriter and producer and engineer. I mean, and a unique talent for sure.
Yeah, there's a crazy story where for the Temptations, he was writing and producing Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Has a crazy long intro, which you can't do anymore. But the lyric in it, like, it was the 1st of September or whatever. And then, like, one of the guys was like, hey, that's when my dad died or whatever. Like,
yeah, put
the
note. Yeah, like, just use it. I know that story.
Just use it.
It's a coincidence. So yeah. He said, just, I mean, that's the universe talking to you, right? There's a reason why you thought of that date. And then that connects to someone in the group on a very personal level. That's magic right there. That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's cool because when you talk about the genre, so obviously when you talk about these pioneering bands, especially Sly, you know, they were about diversity. They were about inclusion. Like, before that was really a thing, they were about breaking down the walls and having a multicultural band war and things like that too. So, I think those are all great influences and glad to see bands like yours carrying the torch already now a decade and hopefully a long time beyond, because I think those genres should still be heard. And I think, again, you're creating new music, but it's like postmodern classic. They're still timeless. It's not like 10 years from now, your record 10 years ago isn't still relevant.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's a very good point.
Now, you have made, this is your fifth album with Monophonics. Now, you've had solo albums as well. So, like, I guess if you could just quickly take us through 2012 to now, like, what's kind of like the journey of like where you started? First of all, I guess to backtrack, how did you kind of get connected with Coal Mine in your journey with Terry Cole and his brother?
I heard a 45 on YouTube that I really dug. And I kind of just look, you know, as I do, I started off as a DJ. So one thing you learn, you know, I was lucky to be around some older gentlemen who were professional DJs. And one thing they taught me was learn the labels, learn the producers, learn the musicians, learn the studios, because that's how you shop for records. Besides buying the top 40 stuff that is popular and people want to listen to at the time, you know, you have to serve that audience as well with what's popular. It was also, hey, do your research, learn about these things, because it'll make, you know, collecting records and shopping for records a lot easier. So as I did, I dove into what is Coal Mine? I've never heard of it. I thought it was an older label maybe. So I dove in and figured out that it was a gentleman in Ohio putting out 45s independently. And at that point, talking about 2010, 11, you know, there's really only Truth and Soul, Daptone. And at that point, before that, Desco. It was a very small list of people putting out 45s consistently. So when I found out it was new, I thought it was cool. There was a contact. I wrote him an email and just said, hey, I dig what you're doing. I would love to put something out with you if you're interested. And it was that simple. Just showing love and saying, hey, I want to be a part of this. And he said, cool, send me what you got. So I sent him two songs, and one of those was Like Yesterday. And he really, really loved it. So, you know, that was the beginning of Coal Mine. We put out Like Yesterday. Then we wanted to give Terry a full length, but he just flat out said, you know, I'm not ready for that. I'm a biology teacher. This is a part-time kind of hobby. Maybe it'll grow into something. Maybe it won't. I don't know, which is funny to think about now what it's grown into, but he was I'm passionate about this. I do this in my spare time, you know, so we took that record and we signed with Ubiquity. We put out In Your Brain in 2012. We started touring all over Europe, all over the States. And then, you know, just kept the momentum going, kept touring, kept recording, put out a record in 2015, put out an EP in 2017 or 18, put out another record in 2020, and then just released Sage Motel in 2022. So just trying to keep the train rolling down the tracks, you know, just playing shows, traveling, touring, kind of just keeping the fans excited. In terms of they know they'll either hear new music from us or they'll see us live. So I think consistency is key to any successful business, you know, and we've tried to be as consistent as possible without burning out, you know, which is easy. It's people, you know, that's kind of what led me to make a solo record was at one point Monophonics just had to kind of slow down and take a break. Everybody was getting a little older. And as you get older, you find that your priorities change. You know, you want to do more things for yourself and more things for your social life, balance, family, friends, having kids, getting married, you know, things like that. So because of the fact that after, you know, around 2017, 18, people kind of just needed to take a deep breath and have a moment. And I kind of just was like, well, I don't need a moment. So I'm going to go over here and make this record for myself. So. Which kind of happened as an accident. I was just creating and writing, recording, and I happened to share those songs with Terry because we're good friends and we have a great relationship. And he was like, it sounds like five amazing songs. Like, what are you trying to do with it? And I just said, I don't know. And he said, why don't you record a few more and you have a record? And I said, sounds like a plan.
Yeah, and it's a great record. And I love your holiday record as well. I listen to it a lot when I was picking my Christmas record. You. And we played that one of the songs at Christmas time last year. But yeah, I think... That's the journey, you know, the artist journey is that like you go along the way, you're picking up people and there's different reasons to do other stuff. And it just kind of organically comes back. And it makes sense with your kind of music that's very organic to have that kind of trajectory. Now, through the pandemic and other stuff, just being a musician and a working musician, having a band of any size, obviously like a Parliament with huge, like it's very hard to keep those bands together and to intact because it's just so hard to tour and other stuff. So like, how do you stay encouraged to keep going like in the current music industry?
This is what I was put on the earth to do. That's what I truly believe. This is not a job. This is like my purpose in life. I knew what I wanted to do by the time I was 14 years old, and that dream has never changed. Obviously, it's taken me down new paths. You know, my dream was never to be in a band. I never wanted to be a singer. I didn't start singing until I was 30. And that was kind of like under the pressure of, not the pressure, but just people around me being like, yo, you can sing. You should do this. My father was a world-class singer who has been complimented by people like Jerry Wexler, who put out Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin and Dusty Springfield and all these incredible world-famous soul singers. Etta James was a huge fan of my dad, and my dad has a duet with Etta James on a record. And wow, you can't find too many duets that Etta James has done. So I think right there, it's a huge compliment. So it's just the fact that I'm hungry and I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I love what I do. I feel very strongly and lucky. I feel privileged. I feel honored that I can create music, art, and people are actually excited to hear that. It makes them happy. It helps them through their hardest points in life. I mean, you know, as an artist and a singer and someone who creates music and puts it out, there's nothing more fulfilling than someone coming up and saying, your music helped me get through this tough time, or, you know, your song was our first dance at our wedding, or mm-hmm. your concert was the first concert we took our child to, or anything that really means that you're now affecting people's lives in a really positive way. It's hard. You can't really find too many jobs in the world where you get to feel so like you're really making a difference. You know, there's everybody out here who's doing what they have to do. Obviously they're making a difference, but they don't always get that message directly from the people that they're affecting. And I think that's one of the most special things about being a musician or an artist, is that we're really lucky that we get a lot of pats on the back and we get to interact with the people we affect and have these beautiful moments with people who ultimately say, thank you. Thank you for doing this because you're making you're making the world better for me personally. I just feel lucky. And that is all the encouragement I need. And when I feel down, I kind of just go back to the times where I had to have a crappy day job. And all I would think about is if I could just do this, if I can just have if I can just have this door open, I try and take myself back to when I was 14, 15, 16. And I just was so hungry and driven and just, I don't want to be in class. I want to be making beats. I don't want to be here. I want to be DJing. You know what I mean? I just try and go back to the fact of I'm super lucky to be able to do this, and I never want to take it for granted.
Yeah, that's an excellent mindset to have, and it's great to have just that thinking process of going back to those times before and realizing what you have and what you know, continually still having that hunger and drive for sure. Now, aside from being a solo artist and a part of your band, you have collaborated with some amazing people. You've collaborated with Orgon, who I love, Sergio, Dan, Shortfire yep. Soul Ensemble, Tim, love him and that group. Ben L'Uncle Soul from Motown France, Lyrics Born, amazing rapper, I Changed My Mind, Changed My Life, and then so many others. So how is it working and collaborating with other musicians?
I mean, that's kind of the ultimate. I love collaborating with people. And, you know, even though I've kind of spent a lot of time alone crafting my skills, there's nothing better than getting in the room with like-minded people and getting on that, like finding that groove with someone. You know, I've known Sergio now 10, 11 years, and I consider him a mentor, a brother, a friend, an inspiration. So when you look at people like that, and then all of a sudden you're working with them, it's just a blessing. Same thing. I remember being at Winston's and this guy just coming up to me and being like, yo, here's a CD. Will you listen to my music? And I said, sure. Here's the van right here. I'm going to go listen to it right now. Checked it out. And I was like, yo, this is really good. Like you just learned how to record and do this. And that was Tim Felton from Surefire Sound Ensemble. So I still remember the day where he handed me that CD, and I went and found him, and I said, yo, man, keep doing what you're doing. Because if this is you in the beginning, the sky's the limit, my friend. Like, you got talent, and you're on the right path. People like Blackalicious, Lyrics Born, coming up, being a huge hip hop fan. That's just kind of like, wow, this is cool, man. This is a blessing. Same thing. Meeting Ben, him coming to our show in Paris, and then approaching us after and saying, I want to work with you. It's just, you kind of just have to pinch yourself sometimes, because we didn't really know who Ben was. I mean, we did. We had a slight idea because he had played a concert in the Bay that some of our friends had been at. So we had heard the name. But then for the promoter to walk in at our show in Paris and say, this guy's in the audience, that's cool. You know what I mean? That's pretty cool to have this dude here. We're like, wow, that's great. And then to hang out with him after and have him basically say, like, I want to work with you guys. A lot of people, as you know, a lot of people say things in this business, but for us to leave Paris and then get the email and then him to actually, you know, basically stick to what he was saying was really cool. And that's been a wonderful relationship. We got to make a record with him, and he actually just put out another record that we made some years back, which he finally put out. It's a really dope reggae record that's inspired by all the dope Studio One records. So it's basically Ben doing reggae versions of classic American soul songs, not just soul songs, because there's like Imagination is on there by John Lennon, and Sugar Man by Rodriguez 6-2 is on there. Mm-hmm. There's a Light, which is a traditional gospel song. So it's just Ben showcasing the fact that, you know, as we all do, if you love soul music, it's hard not to love reggae, because reggae is basically Jamaican soul music.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know your history of someone like Bob Marley and the Wailers, you know that he wanted to be Curtis Mayfield in the Impressions. Mm-hmm. So, but like, they got that Jamaican accent and they got that different rhythm. So now you got a whole new genre called reggae. So we're just kind of connecting those two worlds, because those two worlds are so inspiring and important to us. So, I mean, it's a blessing. Anytime anybody approaches us or just says, yo, let's work together, let's build, let's collaborate, I get excited because I love that part of being an artist.
Yeah, I mean, collaboration is fun, and you know your own ideas, and they have ideas, and then together they become bigger ideas. The sum of the parts is larger. So
exactly.
So from that, then, are there any collaborations, like if you could wave a magic wand, that you would love to do, like someone you'd love to work with, like who would it be?
I would love to work with Q-Tip, because he's been an inspiration since I was young. You know, for those who don't know, Q-Tip is A Tribe Called Quest. That's not taking anything away from Fife. It's not taking anything away from Ali Shaheed. That's not taking anything away from Jarobi. But everybody who knows, I mean, Tribe Called Quest is one of my favorite bands, one of my favorite groups, it's just been a huge inspiration to my musical journey. So I would definitely say Q-Tip. I love a female vocalist by the name of Yeba Smith. I think she's incredible. I love Michael Kiwanuka and the records he's made since he came out about 10 years ago. I love what Kevin Parker does and Tame Impala. I think he's brilliant. Mark Ronson, Danger Mouse, Black Thought. I mean, those two together dropping that record on Friday is like, man, that's a dream come true in terms of just, whoa, what would this sound like if these two dudes linked up? You know, Questlove, the list goes on and on. You know, there's so many people I'm inspired by and I would love to get in a room and create with. I mean, it's so hard not to just start throwing out so many names, because there's so much wonderful music being put out constantly that you just go, man, I'd love to get in the room with that person and build. Anderson .Paak. I love Anderson .Paak. I've loved him since Malibu, you know, and now to see him doing his thing with Bruno and doing the Silk Sonic thing. And now he's, you know, has his own label, and he just put out the jazz record. I can't remember the name of the group, the two ladies, the drummer and the keyboard player. And now he's directing videos and film. And that's an inspiration, man. He's an amazing cat.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to more stuff coming from them. I think they're just forward thinking, and they've done such a good job of bridging the gap of old and new together, where it's like that boomerang of like all ages can love it. And I think your style of music is also fits that. I think it's not necessarily pop, but I think there are people, the crate diggers and the record shop people and the hipsters and people who just have a kind of aficionado way of listening, I think there's a lot of people searching that stuff out now. Now, as we start to wrap up, we ask all of our guests a couple of questions that are similar to get their take on it. But the first one is, what would you tell a newbie starting out in music today? Like, what advice would you give them? Or what advice would you give your younger self to that extent?
Be patient. When you're young, just like anything else, you want things to happen fast. You know, you want to be, you're a teenager. You want to be a grown up fast. You want independence. You want respect. You want, you know, you want all the responsibilities of being an adult. And then you get to it and you go, man, I should have slowed down and just been grateful that I was a young, you know what I mean? I think three words I use all the time are patience, perseverance, because, you know, my path is never going to be like someone else's. Now you could look and be like, wow, you guys have similar paths. But then there's some people who get into this music thing and within 2 years, they're really crushing it. They're really making a good living and making a great name for themselves. I think, you know, if you're willing, it's a marathon. You know, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. If you want it to come and go fast, then it's going to be a sprint. But I think I would tell myself, be patient. Don't let up. Don't take your foot off the gas. You know, keep pushing, keep creating. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose sight of who your humble beginnings. I think you have to understand that everyone has a different path, and your reward at the end of this path might come after 20 years of work, or it might come after 20 months of work. It's just different for everybody. But you have to be willing, if you truly want it and you truly want this to be your life, then get ready for the roller coaster ride, because it's never going to just always be smooth. I mean, even for the people who you look at and you go, wow, I wish I was there. They're always looking up too and saying, wow, I wish I was there. It's hard. It's not hard to be grateful or be proud of where you're at, but it's easy to look somewhere else and go, well, I just wish I had that. You know, trust me, the Nicki Minaj's or that level, they all want to be Beyonce and Rihanna. You know what I mean? And I guess that's the thing you have to appreciate about the Beyonce's and the Rihanna's is that they're at the top, but they're still hungry and they still want to push the envelope and they still want to create things that, you know, they're not satisfied. So don't ever get satisfied.
Yeah.
Hard, no, man. I mean either easier said than done.
For sure. A lot of good nuggets there too. I mean, it's nice to be able to see someone like you that had kind of a non-linear trajectory. And even hearing about Coal Mine's story, it's like how those things kind of come about. Nothing happens at once. You're bootstrapping. You're learning new things through the process. Every time you release something, you make something, you're growing as an artist, and doing those shows help you to connect with other people who you weren't even thinking of. So it's not very easy to just, it is very easy to, I think the common factors that, again, having that hunger, like Beyonce putting out new records, like they still want to say something and to do something and to push themselves. And you can see that when you look at documentaries of them, it's like, oh, like she's off, but she's still like practicing her dance moves, like in the kitchen. Like, it's like people who have that hunger and that drive, they will do it.
Like Dre. Like Dre doesn't have to do anything. And it seems like he's hungrier than he's been in a while. And he wants to keep finding new artists, and he wants to keep collaborating with the people he's been associated with years. And like, when you see someone like Dr. Dre, who's, you know, 50 something, he's a billionaire. He could go off to, he could go buy an island and kick it for the rest of his life. But that's not who he is. Is what he just wants to keep making music. And I really, that is super inspiring, you know. And someone like, I mean, Terry is such a great example of someone who truly has been patient and stuck it out and made good decisions and understood his role. And I mean, it's inspiring. I'm lucky that I've been able to watch the journey of someone like Terry and Coal Mine Records, because it's been really exciting and satisfying, because I got nothing but love for the dude. He's like a friend, and I'm proud of the work he's doing, and I'm proud that he's getting the props he deserves, and he's doing so well. And it can be a really difficult journey, but at the end of the day, there's so many beautiful moments that you go, man, it's all worth it. All the blood, sweat, and tears, it's worth it right now just to be in this place doing this and looking out and seeing people singing your songs. You know, they know your music is moving them. So
what do you want your legacy to be? Not necessarily today, but, you know, many years into the future when it's all said and done, what do you want people to say about Kelly Finnegan?
I just want them to say that, you know, I made great records. I think that's more important than anything as a singer or a musician. My passion is producing and making records. I came up in a generation where you drop the needle on side A, song one, and you get a story and a journey to the last second of that last song on side B. And that's that. I really just want that to be my legacy, is that I made great records. I wrote good songs and I was authentic. I wasn't trying to follow trends or do things that people thought was cool. You know, this is my foundation is hip hop. And through that, I found funk and jazz and soul, R&B. I grew up in a house where R&B was, that was the music I heard. Rhythm and blues, soul, gospel, rock and roll. I didn't grow up in a house where I heard, you know, a lot of people who look like me, who grew up where I look like, you know, they might be like, my dad loved Led Zeppelin and Creedence Clearwater and the Beatles and all that stuff. I didn't. I grew up in a house where I heard Ray Charles. I heard Bobby Blue Bland. I heard Mahalia Jackson. These were the things that I grew up hearing. So my true love and passion is soul music, gospel music, and it all growing up like that. And then obviously being of a new generation and loving hip hop and the culture that surrounds hip hop, I truly feel like the music I'm making is the music I'm supposed to be making, you know. And I know all artists would say that, right? But I think there's been certain things in people's journey that they might look back and be like, well, I kind of, you know, that's kind of how I was able to get my foot in the door. And that's okay. That's not, I'm not saying that as a negative. I think some people have, and I don't want to say compromise because I don't want to put anybody down. But obviously, as you know, sometimes you have to compromise in order to reach your dreams. And as long as you're not doing it in a disrespectful way to yourself or the music or anything else, that's okay. You know what I mean? Compromise is okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable to a certain extent. You have to make certain concessions naturally based on certain constraints.
Certain sacrifices are a part of it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you're creating art, there's the art portion and then there's the commerce portion. There's what the artist wants to say and what the audience wants to hear. And there's a balance. There's a compromise.
Oh, for sure. But at the same time, I always go back to people like Duke Ellington, Miles Davis, Ray. Well, I would say Ray Charles. You know, obviously Ray Charles' sound switched a lot when he went to ABC from Atlantic. I really loved his Atlantic sound. Obviously, some of those records on ABC are amazing, but the sound definitely changed. I think we've all, if you know Ray Charles' discography, I mean, yes, you have to create for yourself first. You know, you have to create, like you said, there is the commerce and there is the audience. But at the same time, I know that there's a lot of Monophonics fans that go, I love In Your Brain from 2012. I wish y'all would kind of, and it's like, well, I can't keep making the same record. You know, I loved Midnight Marauders from Tribe, but I couldn't expect the next one to be like that. Instead, I got Beats, Rhymes, and Life. And at first you're like, oh, well, this is different. I'm not. And then once you let it sink in and you understand, you go, oh, this is the natural next step for these people who are creating music. And I think, like you said, there's both sides, but you got to stay true to yourself. And if you're sitting there working on music and you don't really love it, like it's not moving you like everything else has up to that point, but you're still trying to finish it so you can put it out, I think that's a red flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's less than authentic and people will hear that. That's why you see someone like a Prince. He has some amazing records. He has some records nobody understood.
Yeah,
Coltrane did it
for himself. He understood it, you know, and that's why I think so many people are like, man, Prince has like 1,000 songs in the vault. I want to hear those. It's like, but he doesn't want you to hear those. Like, he doesn't feel like it's just not. He obviously created it and at the end of the day went, nah, this ain't the thing. Like, I enjoyed the process of creating it. It feels like me and it's dope, but it's not dope enough. So I'm going to put it in the vault.
Right.
I kind of get in a weird thing with like posthumous releases, you know? Because at the end of the day, you got to respect what the artist wants. There's a reason that those were put in the vault.
Always. Same with Michael Jackson. You hear it where you're like,
of course.
I see why Michael they didn't Jackson, put this out.
Tupac, Biggie. Mm-hmm. I just heard that they're, you know, it's hard to process because it's exciting to hear new things from these artists that we love and miss. But at the same time, you go, isn't there a reason I've never heard this song or this verse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, also the people putting it out are like not connected to the artist. So it's the family estate or it's the lawyers or the record label. So
yeah, it's not always a lot of business involved. It's true.
For sure. For sure. So then how can people find you online? Where would you want to push people from this to go? They see this and they say, hey, where should I go?
You can definitely start with monophonics.com if you want to see any kind of up-to-date news or you want to know all the concert dates. We also have a great store full of some dope merch, records, shirts, tote bags, stuff like that. You can find myself or Monophonics on Instagram, of course. I'm not really like a Twitter dude or a TikTok dude or Facebook. You can kind of find me on IG. I'm accessible. Hit me up. You got questions, you got concerns, you got, you know what I mean? Whatever. I'm happy to rap with anybody and connect with people if that's what they're looking to do. So I pride myself on trying to be accessible to anybody and everybody because, you know, I'm grateful that you're even interested in me or my music. I mean, you're a part of what makes this whole thing go. So hit me up anytime. IG, also kellyfinnegan.com, you know, so I'm around.
Excellent. And they can Google you. People can find you. So that's always good. Well, we really appreciate you coming on to the podcast 88.5, the at-home interviews, Deeper Grooves. It's on every Friday night, 9 p.m. We're going to play your stuff in September. We're super excited. Obviously, we have some great mutual friends. I'm just a lover of that genre and your music. Yep. So we'll keep in touch with you. We'll get the links to everybody. So when it comes out, we can chat about it more. Continue the conversation as your tour and career are beyond. And maybe one day we'll even get to collaborate or something.
That'd be great, man. That'd be awesome.
Well, Kelly, have a good rest of your day. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks,
we'll
talk Cliff. To you. Thanks for playing the records, man. It's DJs are a huge pillar in what we do. You know, people, whether it's a podcast or a radio show in a radio station or out of your bedroom, whatever it is, man, you're an important part. So I thank you. I know anybody who is in Monophonics would thank you as well. So we appreciate your support and you helping get the sound out. So thank you.
Excellent. We are the SoCal Sound 88.5. We will keep it playing.
Thank you, man.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
All right. Have a good day. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you so much for listening once again to Deeper Grooves, Season 5, Show 45. And today we had the Monophonics' own Kelly Finnegan. You know, one of their first tunes that was sent to me from Coal Mine, thank you, Terry Cole, for sending it to me, was a playlist that included Like Yesterday, one of the first 45s put out by the Monophonics, and it was a blast. You should check out all of their discography on all streaming platforms. You know, he is the son of the late, great Mike Finnegan. Michael Finnegan toured with Steve Ferroni. He also played and has one of the only few duets with Etta James, Something's Got a Hold on Me. We talked about it, all of that on the podcast and more, and we're going to have some of his label mates and tour mates on the podcast coming up, Kendra Morris and GA20, very, very soon. So come back next week for more great interviews on Deeper Grooves.